according to St. John, glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. So you've heard my story about fractions. And about not being ready to bear the full weight of something right when you're first learning it. But I also remember growing up, I'll tell a father's story since it's Father's Day. Andy's not here. I remember both of my parents at times not explaining why they were telling me, you know, not to do something or to do something, just telling me like, no, just do it. Right? And I got to a certain age and I was like, I don't know that I like jive with this. This doesn't sit well with me anymore. I want to know like some reasoning. And to their credit, they refused. They're like, no, just do it. The reason is like, I'm your parent. Do it. And I started probably to give them a little less credit, because I was like, oh, I want to know. And it wasn't until years later, and in fact, I continue to realize these things as I grow older, that I think they were practicing some of the wisdom Jesus is practicing in this text today. That sometimes we're not ready to bear the fullness of what's going on. Sometimes we have not gotten to the point where we're ready to dive all the way in. There's a reason that we teach, you know, fractions in a certain way. There's a reason that things like negative numbers don't come at the very beginning, right? Because if they do, it's really hard to bear them. It's really hard to kind of get what's going on. So we have to sort of be paced out. And then sometimes we do get to that place. And to their credit, my parents then like start to say, like, well, you know, the reason like that we were telling you this is we didn't need to tell you this part behind it, but you needed to know that this is the way that we behave. Or whatever it is, right? But it would have been a really long roundabout discussion on like ethics and where they find their moral source and faith and all, right? Like, and if I was six, that's going to be a little more than I can sit with, right? So as a parent now, right, I try to do the same kind of thing. To live in that tension of being open and honest and revealing, and yet not putting on to someone more than they can bear. So what sounds like potentially not so great news in the first line of our gospel lesson, right, where Jesus tells his followers, I still have a lot to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Right? Which sounds like, I'm not going to get it. One, it's like, you're telling me I can't eat on it. It's a little bit of like, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. Right? So it's a little off-putting in that sense, but there's also maybe this fear of like, Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm not going to be with you that much longer, and I still have a whole lot to share with you. But I can't right now. You know, I want to know. I want to learn and grow in faith. I want to hear the things that you have to say, Jesus. And so Jesus points to the Spirit of truth, to the Holy Spirit, to the same Spirit of God that is within him, that is him. And says, as you continue to grow, you'll hear more. The Spirit of truth that has everything that's mine, Jesus says. Oh, and by the way, everything that's mine is everything that's the Father's. The fullness of who I am and what I have to offer, says Jesus, will be revealed to you by the Spirit as you come to grow in relationship with the Spirit. This is one of the beautiful things of a God who's three in one and one in three. Of a God who the same love and knowledge and eternal and infinite wisdom and mystery flows through and to us in more than just one way. And just because Christ will not be present with his disciples in the same way, it does not mean that what Christ has to offer is going away. So Jesus does not leave them with bad news. But Jesus, understanding that his followers, then and now, have finite minds and are people who grow and learn and cannot bear the fullness of infinite and eternity, doesn't just try to squeeze it all in one shot. Says, trust that I, through the Holy Spirit, will journey with you, will continue to be your guide and your teacher and your sustainer, leading you into truth. Because after all, the wisdom of God is everywhere. Did you catch the prelude, those first few verses of Proverbs in chapter 8? At the gates, on the street corners, always crying out to us. God is present in those spaces, offering more, saying more, teaching more. So what about this doctrine of Trinity? It's Trinity Sunday. And just to let you know, it took a little while after Jesus would have been speaking in the Gospel of John here to come up with this concept of Trinity, to give it a name, I should say, to how we see God revealing God's self in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It wasn't until a couple, about 150 or maybe a little more years after Jesus, that Tertullian first used the word Trinity to describe who God is. It was used to describe the nature of God. It took us a while to get there. Or perhaps a better way to put it, if we are to pay attention to the words of Jesus at the beginning of our gospel, it took a while for us to be able to bear and hear and see and understand what it was that God was saying to us. The way that three are one and one is three is a conundrum, a paradox, and a mystery. It's a math problem that doesn't work. It's sort of befuddling to us. As Father Richard Rohr, a Franciscan friar, puts it, he says, human strength is defined in asserting boundaries, but God, it seems, is in the business of dissolving boundaries, so we enter into paradox. What's three is one, and what's one is three. We just can't resolve that. And so sometimes we confuse unity with uniformity. We think that three becoming one means that there's really only one, or that it's all exactly the same. And this is why the Trinity is such a hard thing to wrap our minds around. So rather than just sort of delve further into doctrine that, to be honest with you, I still come to know more and more about day by day, because it's a math problem that doesn't add up. It is paradox and mystery. But mystery isn't something that we can't know. It's something that there's always more to know. So God is bigger than what we can comprehend or understand or imagine, which means there's always more to comprehend. to understand and to imagine. So what does it mean, this Trinity God? Well, it tells us that there is a relationship at the foundation of everything, which is a little bit echoed in that Proverbs passage when wisdom is speaking. But at the foundation of everything, if God is three, there is already relationship in God. So when God creates out of relationship. And as people who are created in the image of God, we are created in relationship and as relational beings. So the things that defy God, the forces that would seek to work against God, they are the things that separate us. The things that separate us from God or from one another, that drive boundaries in between our relationships, or the things that make us believe that we are separated from one another when really we are not. And this relationship has at its foundation, Paul reminds us in Romans, grace. Grace that we can stand in and receive because of Christ. And so that means that unlike you or me, who after inviting someone to do the same thing three or four times and continually getting a no, I can't, a different excuse, you might stop inviting, right? I'm just going to be honest. If I invite somebody to do like the same thing four times and they say no every time, it's going to be really hard for me to remember to invite them the next time. Or I might just assume that they'd never want to do that, right? Fortunately for you and me, or maybe for me in particular, God's not like that. The grace of God means that no matter how many times there's a response of no, God does not stop inviting. The invitation of God comes again and again to experience, to know and learn more, to feel love, to be in relationship. The Trinity also tells us that mystery and paradox are not bad. They're not things of which we can't know anything, right? They're the things that there's always more for us to know. Mystery means that there's always more to learn. It's a reminder that we are constantly growing in faith and understanding and relationship with God and one another. So I'll let you know, you're all theologians. You're like, oh, isn't theology like the thing that they do in seminaries or Ivory Towers, or maybe pastor in his office with books? No, you are all theologians. St. Anselm defined theology this way. He said it's faith seeking understanding. Faith seeking understanding. Well, you have all received the gift of faith through Christ. And what we do with the rest of our lives is continue to seek understanding of what that faith means. Of who God is and who God calls us to be, of who and whose we are, of what it means to live as followers of Christ. So you are all theologians in the practice of faith seeking understanding. We all have room to grow in our faith, myself most certainly included. So we set about constantly growing and gaining an understanding of who God is. We rest in the invitation of God. Because God is relationship and God's invitation never ceases. It's not that Christ has left us or will leave us without something. But God has come to be with us, alongside us, in us, gathering us into right relationship with God and one another. In Sunday school, and I have some extra copies up here if you want to see it after, but there's this icon of the Trinity by Andrei Rublev. We looked it up extra. The 15th century Russian icon. And it's a depiction of the Trinity. And it's God and three persons around three sides of a table that looks like an altar. And I told them that on the earliest copies of this icon, there's a little spot where something was removed. And we're pretty sure what was there was a mirror. So that when you looked at this table at which all the fullness of God in three persons sat, you saw a space for yourself. Because God's invitation to join him at the table is always yours. Each week we're invited again and again to the family meal because you are included. And at this table we come to realize who and whose we are. That you are a beloved child of God. That we are part of the family. And as we gain a deeper understanding of who God is, that God is relationship, that God is diverse and yet unified, that God is love, God is giver, God is includer, boundary breaker, inviter. The Spirit goes with us. We receive the body and blood and the very presence of Christ so that not just at this table, but as we are sent out alongside one another, we know that God goes with us, that the Spirit of truth is there, continuing to teach us, moving us into greater love, and once again inviting us into relationship with God and one another. Because God loves you. And God never stops inviting you into relationship, into deeper love and understanding. And so we continue to grow together. And we give thanks that God and Christ are wise enough not to try and give us the fullness all at once, but to accompany us on the journey, reminding us of the grace given to us so that we can come to understand better who and whose we are and what it means to share in the love of God and to share the love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.